Mini episode 915 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 915 of the FDH Lounge. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris, here today with part four of our History of Guiding Light, America's longest-running soap opera. In our estimation, there were five eras of the program in the final quarter century of the show that is the part remembered by most fans, and those are parts 2 through 6 of our series, following the preface, which is part 1. Part 7 is our list of the greatest characters of the modern era. For me personally, Guiding Light was a show that I grew to love, having been exposed to it by my mother. At least during its best times, it rose above the typical soap schlock that so often defines the genre, painting interesting and realistic stories about how characters related to one another. Thankfully, there's such a great amount of old episodes and of segments formatted into playlists on the internet, so this series is intended as our guide of what to expect as you navigate each era, and as food for thought for those who are fans. There's a great case to be made that the villainous but complex Roger Thorpe was the greatest character in the history of Guiding Light. If this is true, it's not merely the result of amazing acting from one of daytime's true greats, Michael Zaslow, but also the writing that was provided for him. The 9 years that we're covering today, from 1994 to 2003, were dominated by big stars and big goofiness, which is our label for this sometimes exciting, but often excessively over-the-top era. Alan was the first to come back in 1994, fooling everyone into thinking that he was still in prison when he was on the outside, plotting to regain his power. His son Philip followed in 1996, seeking to learn who forced him into exile 5 years earlier. Harley Cooper, a somewhat important character from 1987 and 1993, returned in 1997 as a legitimate main eventer, starting a romance with the suddenly divorced Philip. But the biggest and splashiest of all of the returns belonged to Miss Reva Shane herself, who was discovered by Alan in 1995 as an amnesiac living in Amish country. Somehow, she survived that drive off the bridge in 1990, and yet that dip into implausibility was nothing compared to what happened in this era. Time travel, actually being cloned and then violently attacked by said clone, and in 1999 having been revealed as a princess in the fictional Caribbean country of San Cristobal during her 5 years away. From 1999 to 2002, Springfield rotated with San Cristobal as the geographic focus of Guiding Light, a real slap in the face to all of the fans who delighted in the show as being the most grounded and down-to-earth of all of the soaps. But as if this gaga and the rest of Reva's circus-like storylines weren't enough, the mob came to Springfield in the form of the Santos family, and the heir apparent of the operation, Danny, found himself in a Romeo and Juliet dynamic with Michelle Bauer, Ed's beloved daughter. Danny and Michelle became a long-lasting super couple on the program, but the over-the-top mafia shenanigans only served to rip the show further away from what it had always been. At least the San Cristobal issues did at least add an interesting few characters to the mix, the pleasant and kind Prince Richard, and the scheming and devious Prince Edmund. The Cain and Abel dynamic lasted for 3 years, until Richard perished in a car accident, but Edmund remained as a polarizing force on the canvas. During this time, Gus Itoro entered the show as a grumpy cop full of grudges, but his story grew more complex as he became exposed as Alan's long-lost son, and he became part of a very compelling super couple with Harley. Then again, there were other characters created as part of the San Cristobal and mob storylines that are probably better off never being spoken of again. In another depressing development, but for real-life reasons, Roger ended up leaving the show in 1998 because Zaslow came down with ALS. His last scenes were actually in 1997, with a fill-in completing the character's time on canvas. With Roger gone before the height of the mob and San Cristobal silliness, it would have been interesting to see if the good writing that his character usually received could have redeemed these dumb directions in any way. Before he left, though, he caused a lot more chaos, getting delayed revenge for Ross marrying his young daughter by returning the favor with Ross's returning troubled young daughter, Dinah, albeit she left him for his returning long-lost son, Hart, who in turn left her for Reva's returning long-lost sister, Cassie. But then Dinah, seeking to kill Cassie, accidentally killed Hart. There was a lot of similarity in over-the-top storylines at this time, as Ross attempted to kill his long-lost brother Ben for sleeping with Blake when she accidentally got shot. She survived, albeit being relegated to a wheelchair for a period of time. But then again, Blake was involved in a lot of goofiness in this era, as was the man once thought to be her brother, Rick Bauer, who was another of the returnees of this era. Prior to Blake's indiscretions with Ben, she slept with Rick, and when she ended up pregnant with twins, it was mistakenly thought that one of the twins was actually Rick's. Don't ask. In the end, they were both Ross's, but not for lack of effort on her part, it seems. So then, a couple of years later, toward the tail end of Philip and Harley's marriage, Rick slept with Harley and impregnated her, the opposite of what happened over a decade ago when Philip impregnated Rick's girlfriend, Meredith. Also, Alan's daughter Amanda came back onto the canvas after many years away, when it turned out that she'd managed a high-class prostitution ring in California. And inevitably, she was revealed to be Alan's sister, not his daughter. Also, Holly, who was devastated when her husband Fletcher Reed left her and took their baby after she was once again tempted by Roger, turned into a stalker, terrorizing the parents of Springfield with much judgmentalism about how they cared for their kids. A few years later, when a second stalker pursued Reva, Holly was suspected, but it was actually Alexandra. When you consider that supervillain Brent Lawrence faked his death and got rehired at Spaulding Enterprises in a high-level position by pretending to be a woman as though he were auditioning for Bosom Buddies, you can tell that there was plenty of goofiness to go around in this era. Frequently, though, that goofiness would lapse into outright character assassination. Take Blake, for example. She'd clearly been portrayed as someone who frequently made bad decisions with men prior to hooking up with Ross in 1992, but the entire key to the viewers buying into their unusual, opposites-attract relationship was the notion that her neuroses had faded enough to keep her from self-destructing completely. Instead, she followed up her initial cuckolding of Ross with his best friend's nephew, Alan Michael, a lapse that occurred prior to their marriage and had logical storytelling anyway, by subsequently cuckolding him with his best friend's son, Rick, and his very own brother and archenemy, Ben. For a show that avoided soap opera excesses during its best times, it reduced Blake to a pitiful cliche in those years. But that pales in comparison to what was done with Beth. More about the details of her situation with Philip in a moment, but in her defining years on the show, she was portrayed as arguably the kindest and sweetest major character in the history of Guiding Light. In the interest of trying to carve out Philip and Harley as a new super couple, Beth's character was completely assassinated, as the writers did a hack job on her, reinventing her as brittle and mean-spirited in the fallout of her divorce. Now, big picture-wise, the show's defining super couples, Josh and Reva, and Philip and Beth, spent most of this time apart. Josh was married to the psychotic Annie when Reva was found alive, but over time, Reva conquered her rival, only to lose Josh again when she pursued the past that she'd forgotten in San Cristobal. Josh ended up with her old San Cristobal frenemy, Olivia, only to have the pattern repeat itself, with Olivia self-destructing over fear of losing Josh back to Reva, which is exactly what happened. Meanwhile, Philip and Beth, who split up right before his return from Arizona, had hardly come between them when he fell in love with her. Beth tried desperately to atone for driving him away, and when she was unsuccessful, she turned her attention to a number of other suitors, but she started the process of getting him back when she and Philip slept together when they were stranded and thought they were going to die. This led to the end of Philip and Harley's marriage, but the Philip and Beth reunion was short-lived due to her second fake death and sowing of wild oats with young Bill Lewis in its aftermath. Simultaneously, Philip was gravitating to Olivia, now married to his father but soon to bear his daughter. So yeah, there wasn't a calm moment for fans of Josh and Reva and or Philip and Beth. The show did take an interesting direction with turning the May-December dynamic on its head, though. With Billy Lewis going to prison in 1994, his wife Vanessa divorced him and romanced a young handyman, Matt Reardon, who she initially did not realize was the nephew of her late friend, Maureen. Their relationship survived everyone's initial doubts, only to be tested by a health scare and fake death on her part. Their relationship was also tested by the travails of her aforementioned daughter, Dinah, who fled the country after accidentally killing Hart. And of course, Beth, who, as we've established, was reinvented as somebody who had no respect for anyone's marriage, set her sights on Matt for a period of time as well. Throughout all of this, the butchery of many characters, mafia cliches, and the fairy tale San Cristobal garbage, the writers made a laughable attempt to offset their goofiness by reasserting some of the show's history by bringing Maida Bauer, a legacy character from the 1940s through the 1970s, back on the show. Set up as the stereotypical grandma-type figure looking out for her brood, her presence did little more than paint her as a refugee from a time capsule, a throwback to days when the writing at least made sense, and there weren't circus-like excesses of the soap opera world all around her. Her character deserved much better surroundings. However, for all of the copious weirdness, the extreme unevenness at best of the quality of these years, the worst was yet to come. The next era is what we're calling the off-the-rails era, the one that set the stage in many ways for the cancellation of the program. That started in earnest in late 2003, when the pros started to get outweighed by the cons even more heavily than in this era. In these years, you could still find some gold here and there simply by enjoying the history of the characters, even if you didn't like how they were being used. In the years to come in our next installment, any kind of comfort was hard to come by. But for now, thanks for tuning into this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IAmBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and The Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.